Today's daf in Mesechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Hey. Okay, so we actually learned this yesterday, but let's just review it briefly. From the question of Michlal, the Tarvayos Virlu Miluim Kalakatuv Bema Akev Behem. It appears that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that anything that appears in the Parshas Miluim is absolutely necessary, and if you don't do it, you messed up the Miluim. Why do I say that? We'll see in a moment, but we do know that there is a machlokas, the Itmar. Miluim, there is two opinions. There's Rabbi Yochanan and there's Rabbi Chanina. One of them says, Kol HaKetuv Ben Ma'akev Behem, and one of them says, Dover HaMa'akev LeDorot is Ma'akev Behem. But Dover She'inu Ma'akev LeDorot ain't Ma'akev Behem. So only things which we find to be always part of the Aveda, that if throughout the generation something wasn't done, and we're going to talk about what those things might be in a moment, only those things would be ma'akev in the miluim, but anything that was not central and essential in the doros would not be ma'akev in the miluim either. And now that we know that Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Reish Lakish that dover ma'akev, that dover kol ha'katuv ma'akev is ma'akev the doros, so if that's the point, then now we know who said what. You said we're not sure if it was Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Chanina who was the one who actually said Dover Ma'akev Behem, Kol HaKetuv Ma'akev Behem. Now we know. Tistayim to Rabbi Yochanan, Dover Kol HaKetuv Ma'akev Behem. It must be that that was Rabbi Yochanan, because look, if he didn't hold that, then why when Reish Lakish said to him, excuse me, Rebbe, but if you're going to learn it out of the Miluim, then why is it that we don't say that Prisha Shiva should be Ma'akev? I thought that anything that's Ma'akev, written is ma'akev, and it is written, and yet our Mishnah is not taking it as an ikuva, despite the fact that you're claiming we learn it from the miluim. And he didn't say, I disagree. I don't think that everything that appeared by the miluim is ma'akev. Okay, so then obviously he was the one who holds that kol ha'katuv ben ma'akev ben midikamalei Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, quote, ima miluim kol ha'katuv ben ma'akev behem, etc., etc., unquote. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't respond. Look, he doesn't say, what are you talking about? I disagree. So you're right. Tistayim. It's quite clear that in that Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Reish Lakish. And if, in fact, Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Reish Lakish, now we know that he is the Shita that said that Kol HaKetuv Behem Me'akev Behem. Now, what can you give me like some examples? What would be the difference between the two Shitas? Practical differences in terms of kol ha'katuv be'ma'akev be'em or only dover ha'ma'akev le'dorot is ma'akev be'em. So, my b'nai. Well, let's see. We can have some examples. Rav Yosef says, sure, I'll give you an example. How about smicha? So, it says over there in the psukim that Aaron Uvonav is supposed to be semich on the korbanos and so on. Smicha generally is not ma'akev, where an owner is supposed to do smicha on his korban. So this would mean that if actually Aaron did not do the smicha on the korbanos of the miluim, they still would have been kosher if you don't hold of Rabbi Yochanan, if you hold of Rabbi Chanina, if you hold of Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a different kind of smicha, apparently, because kol ha'katuv be'em ma'akev be'em. So le'man diyomer kol ha'katuv be'em ma'akev be'em, even smicha would be ma'akva. But so then obviously smicha itself would not be ma'akev. Well, are you absolutely certain that smicha is not ma'akev ledoros? Well, of course. You remember the drasha. Ledoros bin olam delo ma'akev v'tanya. You remember the famous brisa we've had. V'somach v'nirtza. The brisa darshins the posik of the word v'nirtza next to v'somach, which is mashman, that it's absolutely essential to do smicha in order to have a korban that is going to be meratza on you. And the Braita asks, that's crazy. V'chi smicha v'chaperet v'lo ein kapor ela b'dam. It's a beferiship posik that says, ki adam hu b'nefesh y'chaper. So what could possibly be the meaning of such a thing to say v'somach v'nirtza? It means she'im asa'a l'smicha she'arei mitzvah, but indeed v'chiper. So there's two different inyonim, essentially, in the aspects of kapora, which is, look, there could be at the kapora in terms of the chait, that the person is no longer considered responsible for having created that filth in the world. That's v'chiper, is a cleaning off of that. But, I mean, it's not really a full ritzui. Note how we sometimes use the word v'nirtza, and sometimes we use the word v'chaper, right? So that idea of nirtza is the furthest reaches of kapora, isn't it? that to find ritsui, to find desire, to find the willingness for a connection, is certainly different than just the fact that you went through the motions of cleaning everything up. So that's what it means. It means, yes, you did clean everything up. Thank you very much. Now get out of here. So it's a completely different sense of what the kapara does. But it certainly is not something that's going to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu very happy. That you didn't care about his mitzvahs to be able to do what you needed to do properly. You just wanted to go through the motions of bringing your broom and your shovel. Okay, so that's what it means. But anyway, meanwhile, do we see from here that smicha is certainly not essential to the etzem fact of the kapara, in which case it's not ma'akev. So therefore, if you hold that whatever is not ma'akev l'dorot is not ma'akev for the shivas yimei miluim, then you would have to say that if Aaron did not do smicha, it would still be kosher. Mashenken, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who clearly agreed with Reish Lakish in this particular issue, that kol ha'ketuv ma'akev, then smicha would be ma'akev. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, look, I'll give you another example. How about tenufa? It says over there that they have to pick up the keves, they have to wave it, and so on and so forth with all of those different things. So that would either be ma'akev according to Rabbi Yochanan or says kol ha'ketuv, or not be ma'akev according to Rabbi Chanina, and that would be the difference. So lema demar kol ha'ketuv behem ma'akev behem, it would be ma'akva. Lema demar dover she'ena ma'akev ledorot ena ma'akev behem, it would not be ma'akva. And how are you so sure that tenufa is not ma'akev? So ledorot minolon. That it's not ma'akev, because we have exactly the same drasha legabe the posik about tenufa. There's a braita that it's almost word for word the braita we had with smicha. The Torah says the tenufa lechaper, and there the braita asks the same question. How could you say tenufa lechaper v'chi tenufa mechaperet v'alo in kaparei lo b'dam shenamar ki adam u'benefesh yechaper? So what's the point of the Torah saying the tenufa lechaper? It's coming to tell me that im asal tenufa shiore mitzvah, if you treat it just like leftovers, it's not all that important. I just do the important jazz, which is making sure that I get, I get out of this pickle that I'm in, that I did this avera. Okay, if that's the way you want to look at it, I mean, yes, it's still going to work mechanically, but it's as if you weren't mechaper. But in fact, I mean, you did clean up. So ki'ilu kiper v'kiper. So that's two differences. Rav Papa says, look, I mean, one of the big differences will be exactly the sugya that we're talking about over here. I mean, according to what we just said, so then the prisha shiva ikebenayu. We know that ledorot, the fact that the Kohen Gadol was not mufresh for 7 days is not going to hurt the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We already proved that from the fact that it says Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, but then it says Matkinin lo Kohen Acher. It doesn't say Mafrishin Kohen Acher. So apparently, if we actually were in dire straits, we had to use this other Kohen, it wouldn't matter that we weren't Mafrishin for 7 days. So that's the difference. So it would be Ma'akev if they didn't do Prisha Shiva for the Miluim. There, Rabbi Yochanan says, pow, that destroys the Miluim. Mashenkin, if you hold like Rabbi Chanina, it wouldn't be ma'akev. How are you so sure that for Dora is Prisha Shiva is not ma'akev? Well, we know the answer to that already. Because that was Reish Lakish's diuk. Minikatani in our mission, matkinin lo kohen acher, does not say mafrishin lo kohen acher, which means that the kohen acher did not, in the event that we need to use him, did not actually need that afrasha. Ravina says, I'll give you another example, okay? Over there, which says that every single day, Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron Uvanav with their begadim, and Aaron had to wear his ribui begadim for all those 7 days, all his eight begadim. And every single one of those days, they did mishicha. So obviously, that is not ma'akev v'doros, right? So the question is, what if he hadn't done the mishicha for Shivas Yomim? Or what happens if he hadn't put on the Shemona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol for 7 days straight? I mean, would that have meant that Aharon would not have been the kosher Kohen Gadol, and we would have wrecked the Miluim? That's the difference, another difference, because it says, Beferish over there, that you did need those 7 days. So that's the difference. So Liman Diyama Kolakatubem, Ma'akev Bem. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be Ma'akev, because it says to do it. Liman Diyama Dovashe, Eno Ma'akev Ladorot, Eno Ma'akev Bem. So then, even if they hadn't done it then, Aaron and his children would still have been perfectly kosher Kohanim, despite the fact that they hadn't been Mekayim the Mitzvahs properly. That's what Rabbi Chanina says. How do we know that Ladorot, there is no Ikuv in requiring Mashiach or Ribui Begadim for Shivat Yomi. So the Dorot Minolan de Lomak Vedetanya. V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oto V'Asher Yimaleh Et Yado L'Chayhen Tachat Aviv. So note that it says over here, the two things in this pasuk. V'chiper HaKohen, this is an Achrei Mos, where it's defining what's going to be L'Dorot after the period of Aaron HaKohen. So it says in Achrei Mos that in the Yom Kippurim in the future, the Kohen who will be anointed in place of his father, and whose hands will be mole, ma'male et yadona, we always use the lashon of milu yadayim in terms of putting on the begadim. The begadim are there in order to be ma'male et yadav. So now the question is, ma talmud lomar? So why is the Torah saying this? Is it just telling us that whoever will be the Kohen Gadol, that's who will be doing the avodah of Yom HaKippurim? I mean, that can't be what the meaning of the pasuk is, because 20 times it's repeated in the parashim. Every single thing, it mentions Aaron by name, right? So it says, V'natan Aaron, V'kriv Aaron, Ubo Aaron, and so on, B'zos Yovo Aaron. I mean, obviously it's going to be the Kohen Gadol. Every time it says Aaron, it means Kohen Gadol. So why do you have to tell me? And in the future, it will be the Aaron of that time who is the child after Aaron. So that's not what it's coming to tell me. So then what it is coming to tell me is l'fish and am shivat yamim yel b'shem ha-kohen tachtav mi banav. The point is like this. Back in Parshat Tetzaveh, well, we were still talking about making the Bigdei Kohuna. So over there it says something that you might think means exactly what it says. Seven straight dates. Shivat yamim yel b'shem ha-kohen tachtav mi banav asher yavo lo'omoed l'sharet b'kod. So that Yilbasham HaKohen Tachtav seems to be saying you need seven full days, and that is the only way to have a Kohen Gadol, which would mean, Ein li'elashenitra ba shiva v'nimshach shiva. I mean, I'm assuming that it would be the 7 days, the whole jazz. Atosus understands at this point our assumption that it would be the same din of the Mashiach as it would be for the Yilbasham. So how can I know that if he didn't get Mashiach for all 7 days, maybe he was only Nisraba Shiva, this new Kohen Gadol, 1,000 years later. So he was Nisraba Shiva, but he only had Mashiach for Yom Echad. Or maybe he only wore the Bigdei Kohuna on that day, you know? But he was Nimshach Shiva. How would I know that that would be sufficient? That's why it adds in that story of what's going to be in the future in Acharei Mot. It's not coming to tell me I need a Kohen Gadol. It's coming to tell me, as long as you have the Kohen Mibanav, who was either Mashach Oto, Yimaleh Et Yado, that's all that you need. And that would be sufficient. So it's not, it's Gufa coming to tell me, it's enough. You don't need the Shivas Yamim. This would be fine. That's what the pasuk is coming. It would still be a perfectly kosher Kohen Gadol to do the Avod of Yom HaKippurim in the future. Mikomakom. By the way, why are you so sure that l'chatchila you needed to have the ribui begadim shivas yomim? Now, I mean, it did say beferish that the kohen, yubasham kohen tachtav mibanav, it says shivas yomim. That it says in Tetzaveh. Why did you assume that necessarily, again, this is how Tosfos learns, now that we see that the pasuk in Acharei Mos is coming to tell me you don't really need shiva, so if you don't really need shiva, maybe you don't need, I don't know, Mashiach at all. I mean, where did you get the idea that it's going to be the same thing? And you would need l'chatchila, you would need this Mashiach HaShiva l'chatchila. How do we know that? Minola. Well, I mean, first of all, if I need a pasuk to tell me that mikol makom, it's kosher, even if you don't have, so isn't it obvious that l'chatchila you were supposed to have, right? So that's one approach. Or I could say, you know what? Since it says, ubigdei ha-kodesh asher li'aharon, Yihiyu levanav acharav lemoshcho behem ulemalei bam et yadam. Now note the double lush. Lemoshcho behem ulemalei bam et yadam. This it says also back into Tzaveh. So then the pasuk itself is comparing the Mashiach of the Kohen to the Milu Yadayim of the Kohen of the Begadim. So in the same way that we found Iskish Mashiach l'ribui, if it says beferah shivas yamim yil b'shem, so then ma ribui Begadim is for shivas yamim l'chatchila, so too, Mashiach is for shivas yamim. Okay, Now, question is, where do we get this idea? Because when it comes to the Avodas HaKodesh, remember that we have a klal. The klal is that just because the Torah said something, this is only true about Avodah. Because normally if the Torah gives you a mitzvah, fine, that's the definition of the mitzvah. But remember that when it comes to kachin, which is the nature of Avodah, the only way that we know that something is absolutely ma'akev and that without it the Avodah is psula is if it's either repeated or if we're used, it's presented in a way that there's a word that implies it's got to be this way and it can't be any other way. So why are we so certain that kol ha'katuv be'ma'akev? What does it say about ikuva when it comes to the miluim? Can you tell me, please? Rav Yitzchak bar Bissim, well, of course. I mean, there's beautiful pasuk. Now, this was back in the mitzvah of the miluim, back in the tzava. Remember, the first part of the tzava was dedicated to the description of the making of the big day kuhuna. And the second part of the tzava was talking about how we were going to be memale es yodam, which then becomes parshas tzav in Vayikra, where we actually are memale es yodam, which then becomes parshas shmini with the whole disaster in which the shmini lemiluim, we have the death of Nadav Avihu, which then becomes achrei mot shnei b'nei Aaron, the avodas yom kippurim. This is the way in which all of this works through the chumash, right? So you have to keep that in mind now here because we're going to be talking about the way in which a tzivoy might appear in tzava and then not be carried out in tzav, or maybe it appears in tzav, but we never had the bunker in tzava. So you need to remember how this all works. Remember, we already talked about the bezot yavo, that it's a reference to achrei mot shnei b'nei Aaron, which takes us back to the Imei Miluim, which is the thing that began this whole thing, kasher tzivo la'asot, which is now brings us back ahead to the avodas yom kippurim, and then even according to one of those shlomos, like Rabbi Yishmael, even to Maisipora, right? Okay, so you have that picture in your mind. Keep that picture in your mind because it gives really a structure to everything from the beginning, how the relationship to the kuhuna, to the miluim, to the death of Nadav Avihu, to Yom HaKippurim, and to Pora, how they all interrelate here in the Masechet. So, where we're talking about in Tetzav, how it is that we're going to make the kuhuna effectuate the kuhuna, which is the miluim. So there it says the most powerful words of ikuva, which we always use, and that is kacha. It says, v'yasita la'aron ulevanav kacha. You do exactly like this. Kechol asher tziviti otacha. Everything that I've said to you, you do every last bit of it. Okay, so boy, if that doesn't mean ikuva, I don't know what does. So therefore, I hold the kol ha'katuv be'ma'akev be'em. That's why kacha is always a lashon of ikuva. Says the Gemara, yeah, but wait a minute. That's in Parshas Tetzaveh, right? Okay, so Tenach, I understand that that would be true about kol milta dechtiva ba'inyona. Anything that's written in Tetzaveh, I understand is going to be ma'akev because of kacha. But there are things that are written in tzav that were done where we can't find the original tzivoy back in tetzava, and therefore they're not covered by the word kacha. Let me give you an interesting example. This is how Rashi understands it. We'll talk in a moment about the obvious problem with Rashi. But Rashi understands it like this. We have in the story of the actual carrying out of the miluim, which is tzav, as opposed to tetzava. So it says over there that vayitena lavet achoshen, Moshe Rabbeinu puts the choshen on Aaron, and then he puts into the choshen, vayitein el choshen et ha'urim ve'et ha'tumim. Now, interestingly enough, in Tetzaveh, where it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu dressing Aaron Avona, it leaves out the fact that you should put in the Urim ve'tumim. You should put into the choshen the Urim ve'tumim. So how do we know, this is the way Rashi understands the sugya, how do we know, since kacha was never said on that, how do we know that if Moshe Rabbeinu had left out the Urim V'tumim from the Choshen, that he would have passed the miluim? Because after all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha'katuv be'ma'akev be'em is a reference back to tzav, what was done. That's the question. Now, the problem, there's two problems with the way that Rashi is analyzing it. Problem number one is, it does say in Tetzaveh, to put the Urim V'tumim into the Choshen. What do you mean it doesn't say it? But that problem Rashi addresses himself. That's in the first part of Tetzaveh, which has nothing to do with the Miluim. It's just describing the making of the Big Day Kahuna. So yes, I mean, it's just because it occurs in Tetzaveh, but in a completely different context, it does say there, V'natata ela kosher et haurim et atumim. Fine, okay, I understand. That's a description of making the Big Day Kahuna. It doesn't say that in the part that talks about this is what you need to do to Aaron on the days of the Miluim and so on. So therefore, the kacha doesn't apply to it. But the obvious problem with Rashi is the one glaring issue that is missing is the fact that nowhere in Tetzaveh does it say that you need pre-shev shivas yomim. So, like, that's the main issue we're talking about. So how in the world, what do you mean? I mean, isn't it clear that that's the point that the Gemara is making? You've been telling me all along that Kol HaKatuv Ma'akevam is referring to the idea of the shivas yomim of pre-shev. But the shivas yomim of pre-shev never appear in Tetzaveh. They only appear in Tzav. So, I mean, isn't that the most obvious thing? And indeed, some of the Rishonim say that's the meaning of the Gemara. That's the flow of the Gemara. It's quite dramatic that Rashi should go and leave out like the whole point of the Gemara and focus on this small question about whether the Urim V'Tumim was mentioned as needing insertion into Tzava under Kacha or not, right? And so, Lechori, you have to say that according to Rashi, the very nature of the discussion is predicated on that this is what you will do for Aaron HaKohen with the Shivas Yomim. That is the Shivas Yomim. We don't need to have a separate mitzvah about where the Shivas Yomim are and so on. That's what the Shivas Yomim mean, according to Rashi, is the way that they were actually carried out. That we take for granted, apparently. Okay, but in any event, there would now be a question, what about something like that? If kacha doesn't apply to it, how do we know it? Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, well, we know it from the fact that back in Tetzaveh it says El Petach Ohel Moed. And here it also says the idea of, so in Tetzaveh we have Petach Ohel Moed, and in both of these cases, as Rashi points out, the Petach Ohel Moed is extra. Because in Tetzaveh it says El Petach Ohel Moed, and it says twice. It says Petach Ohel Moed, Takriv Petach Ohel Moed, and then it says V'chal Aaron Ubanav Et Basar Ayav Esal V'chav Asher Basal Petach Ohel Moed again. The same thing is true in Tzav. It also repeats it. Et Kol Eida Hakilo El Petach Ohel Moed, and then it says Bashlu Et Abasar Petach Ohel Moed. So that means that we're given a Gzeira Shava, which is Pnuya on both sides, in order for us to see that whatever appears in the Tzivui is actually covered by Kacha in the Tetzaveh. Okay, that's one approach. Petach. Rabbi Sharshia says, the word Ushmartem et Mishmeret Hashem. Ushmartem et Mishmeret Hashem means that this is precisely the way it has to be done, because that's what Shmira means. Shmira means that you're on guard. Now you're doing things perfectly. So the whole concept of Ushmartem et Mishmeret Hashem velo tumutu ki chein tzuveti. I mean, can you get clearer than that? That it all is going to be ma'akev. That's another approach. Rav Ashi says, just the words ki chein tzuveti. That's a repetition. Ki chein tzuveti. Exactly like this is the way I'm telling you it needs to be done. That's ikuva. Okay, so we've got a lot of different elements over here of ikuva. Now, once we bring up this strange language of velota mutu kichein tzuveti, we need to question why in the world it's being said. I mean, what, every time that Moshe Rabbeinu said something, he told everyone, yeah, and you better do this because this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. We never find that. And yet in this story that makes reference to the Miluim, we find that it's like repeated again and again and again, which is really weird. Why is this? So we want to darshan the three times that it's repeated. So we have the posik of Va'achaltem ota b'makom kadosh ki chokcha v'chok banecha u'mishe Hashem ki chen tzuveti. That is not the same ki chen tzuveti we spoke about before, which was the description of what is the dinim of the miluim. This is in Shmini. And in Shmini, after the death of Nadav Avihu, We have a need for Moshe Rabbeinu to assert that even though I'm telling you things that are against the halacha, and they're inconsistent with what I've told you elsewhere, you need to know that this is a special halacha that I was told, and that you should be over on the other halacha. That's why I need to explain to you, Kichin Suveit. So what happens? Remember that Moshe Rabbeinu has taught that there's a din of lo achalti ba'oni mimeni, which is expressed later on in Vidui Maaser. So we understand that even Maaser Sheni, a person cannot eat if Chas V'Shalom is in a state of aninut. Now, all of a sudden, Nadav Aviyu die. The Kohanim are dealing with Kodshei Kodshim. They're in a state of aninut. Can they eat it? So Moshe Rabbeinu had to first say to them, even though you are onanim, I'm telling you, V'achaltemo tabe makom kadosh, ki chokcha v'chok banecha u'mishe Hashem, ki chen suveti, in this particular circumstances, that now, today, on Yom HaShmini, you are supposed to be eating ba'aninut. Okay, so that I understand, that's clear. Now, in order to understand what's going on over here, we have to review what happened in Shmini. So, in Shmini, we had three separate chataot that were going to be brought. We had the chatas of Aaron HaKohen himself. We had the chatas of Nachshon. And then it was Rosh Chodesh. Remember, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we also had the Seir Chatat for the Korban of Rosh Chodesh. Now, the only one of those chataot that were part of the norm was the Seir Rosh Chodesh, which you bring every Rosh Chodesh. Everything else was being brought specifically in terms of the Miluim. Now, the reason that this fits in so fabulously to our sugya is our entire sugya is questioning the interrelationship of the dinim of the miluim to the dinim of forever. Hama'akev l'dorot ma'akev behem. Right? That's the question. But that goes in the other direction also. Those things that were specifically said for the miluim, namely, eat it even though you are onanim, does that apply to everything that was being brought in the miluim, including the Tzoyer Shel Rosh Chodesh? Or does it apply only to the issues of the Milum? That's the mirror image of the question that Gemara has been discussing, right? That question was the first machlokas in history. It was a machlokas between Moshe and Aaron. So Aaron, HaKohen, they did not eat from the Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh. Because of that, they ended up burning the Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh. Moshe was furious at them. And he goes through like all of the dinim. What the hell is wrong with you guys? It wasn't Nichlas of Ivalifnim. It wasn't your children who did the Avodah. Apostle Benanim was you who did the Avodah. Why wasn't it eaten? And there he says, Kasher Tziviti. Didn't I tell you to eat it? I told you to eat it. Damn it. Why didn't you eat it? Can't believe this happened. So Aaron comes and says, hold on a second. This is Kodesh Doreis. You gave us a mitzvah of Kodesh Shah. What makes you think that we should learn out the dinim of the miluim for Kodesh Shah? You see how beautiful this is? Mamish mirror image, right? Fabulous. So and Moshe says, oh my gosh, you're right. I'm asking him 100%. I made a mistake. So then after that, he says, but listen, you still need to make sure that you do eat the mincha because that I didn't say on my own. This I did say on my own. You're right. I made a mistake. But the part about the mincha, you're still going to have to eat because that was part of what I said in the first place. Okay, so that explains the three psukim, you see, that the Gemara is going to darshan over here. So, there says the Braita. So we have these three psukim. We have the kichen tsuveti. That's up front where Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, look, you know, you're going to have to eat it ba'aninut. Then kasher tziviti, which is, why didn't you eat it? Hein lo huvah damal ha-kodesh p'nima, ha-chotoch lucha ba-kodesh, kasher tziviti, I explained this to you before. Why did you listen to them, to me? And then at the end, where he insists, listen, but make sure that the shoka truma v'chazei ha-trufa, that ha-yalach ha-levanecha l'chok olam kasher tziva Hashem, even though you're owning him. So that's good for the three psukim. So the kichen tziviti, I'm telling you that even though it sounds crazy to you, ba'aninut yochlu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in this case, you have to eat it ba'aninut. Kasher tziviti, this he's talking to them when he finds b'shas ma'aseh, that he finds the chatas burnt. He said, didn't I tell you to eat it? So b'shas ma'aseh amar lehem. And then at the end, when he's insisting, but make sure that you do eat the chazeh atnufa, there he has to say, look, but I'm not totally stupid. Kasher tziva Hashem. I didn't say that on my own. Right? So lo me'elai ani omer. That I said to you. That was right. So just because you were right about this, don't think that you shouldn't eat the chazeh atnufa and so on. Right? Beautiful. Okay. You understand why they would think that, right? You understand why it's necessary, because this is part of the things that are given to the Baalim, to the Kohanim all the time, the Chazeh HaTnufa and the Shoka Truma. So understanding that this is a unique carbon in which the Tnufas Chazeh HaShok and the Achila of the Chazeh HaShok is part of the Din of the Miluim, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to reassure them again. Listen, you were right about that, but that doesn't mean you're right about this, right? So the old pasuk is so beautiful. Can you imagine, like, what did the goyim do with these pesukim? It's like unbelievable. Absolutely.
Exactly the way they taught us in Tel Aviv University how the pesukim work. It's just the same, Rabbi. I mean, it's obvious.
So I just like, I don't, like, what do they do? These crazy Pharisees reading all of this stuff into the Bible. Wow. So beautifully meduyik, every single word is gorgeous. I'll give you another issue, which is very interesting. There's something missing from the whole parsha of the Miluim. And according to the pashtus of the pasuk, nobody's wearing underwear. For that matter, they're not wearing pants at all. This is ridiculous. So how did we leave that out? You'll notice Michmasayim ain't ktuvim b'parasha. It talks about putting on the clothes, but it does not talk about putting on the Michmasayim. Now, how could that be? Kishu omer, v'zeh hadavar asher ta'aseh lahem l'kadesh otam l'chahen. However, it's pointing out here something, and this is back in the Tetzaveh, that is, what is that extra zehadavar? I mean, it says over there, lekach parachad ben bakar ve'lim shnayim, but what's the point of zehadavar? So therefore, what it's mentioning is the vav that starts v'zehadavar is said immediately after the parsha of the Michmasayim. So when it finishes the last four begadim, right? So it talks about over there the tzitz, and so on in the Michmasayim. The next pasuk is v'zeh hadavar asher ta'aseh. So the vav is mechaber, the Michmasayim of the pasuk before, to the v'zeh hadavar, which therefore tells us the transition. This is fascinating. The transition in Tetzaveh between the part of Tetzaveh that's talking about the Bigdei Kehuna and the second part of Tetzaveh, which is talking about the Miluim, is amazingly the vav of Michmasayim. Whoa, that is like wild, but okay. But that is what is missing over there. And it's also a reference to the Asiris Ha'efa. So that's talking about what you would normally do, which we learn out from other places. There's got to be sometime during the Miluim, even though it doesn't say it anywhere, there's got to be sometime that they must have brought the Asiris Ha'efa, because every Kohen has to bring a Minchas Chinuch, and the Kohen Gadol has to bring a Minchas Chinuch besides his Chavitim, as we spoke about before. So, okay, somehow there was a remez to this as well, even though it doesn't say that they brought it. The whole thing is very unclear. Also, what is also unclear is what was the status of the Chavitim when there was no Kohen. Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the Kohen. He was doing the Aveda. But, I mean, could they bring their Asiris Ha'efa? So, okay, that's not clear. But anyway, but Lavia Michmasayim is clear. So, Abish Lama, the Michmasayim, I understand. I mean, I don't know how you got the Asiris Ha'efa. The Michmasayim, I understand. It's the Vav, it's the next Pasuk. So, Ksivi Bin Yana de Begadim. That was what was said in the Pasuk right before. But the Asirit Ha'efa, where did that come in over here? Asirit Ha'efa, is it mentioned over here in Tetzaveh? No, we threw in an unpaid political announcement over here because we wanted you to know that there is Gzera Shava. Because this word of Zeh, the Zeh HaDavar, actually appears in the pasuk of Zeh Korban Aharon Uvanav Asher Akriv El Hashem, Asirit Ha'efa, which is at the beginning of Ayikra, where we have the description of the Menachos, and this is what he's got to be bringing. So when we talk about before we get to the elements of the actual tzavs miluim, go through the menachas, and in the menachas, that's what it says. There's also the special carpet. So that there's also merumas in this ze. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There's something else that is actually essential. Believe it or not, there was a mikra parasha. Minayin she'af mikra parasha. How do we know that it would be ma'akev? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was said, Zeh adavar she'tziva Hashem. And then it says, Zeh adavar she'tziva Hashem la'asot. There is no she'tziva Hashem la'asot afterwards. There's only ha'kilu etayidah and so on and so forth, right? So what in the world does ha'kilu etayidah have to do with Zeh adavar she'tziva Hashem la'asot? Must be that giving over in front of the tzibur, which is mikra parsha. I'm going to be reading over to you the entire parsha of the miluim so that everyone is aware of what we are about to do. That is itself a mitzvah, and that too would be ma'akev. So before you do the miluim, you have to actually read the parsha. That means davar, afilo dibur, even just the speaking of it, is going to be ma'akev, and it is included as well. Ketzad hil bisha. So, another question that we have, once we're talking about the miluim, is how exactly did Moshe dress Aaron uvanav? What was the seder of levishas begun? Well, who the heck cares? I understand. What do you mean, ketzad hil bisha? How did he dress them? I mean, I don't know. Whatever he did, you know. Ma'ad ha'ave. I mean, it's not nogeya any mitzvah, is it? It was already done. This was a one-time in history event. So why is it important for us to know details that are not going to be part of our understanding of the mitzvahs l'dayres? Okay, sorry. Kate said, Malbisham. Does that make you happier? So aren't we going to need to do this again for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, where we need for the first time to make Aaron Uvanov Kodesh? I mean, so for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, we need to do the same thing, right? So I still don't care. You know, we really have to decide this, you know. When we're going to be sitting there at the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, we could talk to Moshe about it and ask him how you want to do it, you know. Because, I mean, at that point, we'll have Aaron HaKohen and his Bonav, and Moshe will be there. I mean, it really is not necessary for us. Forget about Tishbi Avo, you know. We got good authorities, and we can rely on the Beis Din at the time and make the right decision, right?
And Rebbe and the Bach puts in Rabbeinu, it's Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, okay. The issue over here is, if they've come back, why do they need to go through the Miluim again? They already go through it once, right? That's it. The Achronim point out that obviously, once they died, there's no longer Kodesh with the Miluim. Because Kivan Shemeta Damna Sechovshi Min HaMitzvot. So now, okay, so now you need to redo the Kuna. Okay. Anyway, all right, fine. I want to know how to understand the Psukim, because there's a contradiction over here. And if you're not going to be able to explain to me the contradiction, so we're left with the contradiction. Is that important? So Ketzad Hil Bishan LeMizbar Kroy, I need to understand, because I'm going to show you now. And it's because of this stira in the Psukim that we have the Machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Pligiba b'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. Chanamar Aaron v'char kach banan. So one of the Shita says that first Moshe dressed Aaron, and afterwards he dressed the b'nei Aaron, and chanamar Aaron v'banav v'bat achad, that he dressed them all at the same time, meaning they put on each beged on all of them, then moved on to the next beged on all of them. Now it says that let's just understand one thing. When it comes to the question of the ketonet and the mitznefet, now we're not going to talk about the michmas sayim because either as Tosfos says, the michmas sayim weren't mentioned, so they can't be part of the steer and the psukim. So we're certainly not going to talk about the michmas sayim. But obviously, if you're putting on ketonet and mitznefet, you would be putting on michmas sayim. Rashi says something very strange. The reason that we don't talk about the michmas sayim is because the michmas sayim were before all of the begadim, and that therefore they're not part of the Seder HaBegadim, which everybody, like, why wouldn't they be part of the Seder HaBegadim? What does that mean? I mean, meanwhile, Aaron his bonim, they're not sitting there naked. They're sitting there wearing their normal clothes. So why would you have to be putting on the Michlas Hayim before anything else if there's no reason for us to assume that they are needed first if the whole dressing wasn't done first? So what Rashi says is not clear at all. Okay, but anyway, so as I said, Tosis explains, look, it's just there's no point in mentioning Michlas Hayim since they're not part of the discussion. Okay, so therefore, Baya says, look, if you're talking about the ketonet, and you're talking about the mitznefet, now there's only one more thing, which is the avnet, right? So you're talking about the ketonet and the mitznefet, everybody agrees that, of course, first Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron. When he finished dressing Aaron, then he went to the children. Because if you're talking about, whether you're talking about in Tetzaveh or you're talking about in Tzav, in both locations, it says clearly, Aaron comes first. And it mentions them completely separately, as we'll see in the Pesukim. The only machlokas is when it comes to the avnet. The avnet, there you have a machlokas, because Bandi Omer Aaron ve'achakach banav is because we find by the avnet that it says, dichtiv, vayachgor oto ba'avnet. So there we've got a problem, because in Tzav it says, he, Moshe, dressed Aaron, put the belt around Aaron, girded him with a belt, right? Vayachgor oto ba'avnet. And then, afterwards, a few psukim later, it says, Vayachgor otam avnet. So obviously there were two completely different dressings. One was putting on the avnet of Aaron, and then when it talks about the bunim, five psukim later, so it adds their avnet at the same time that it adds their ketonet and mitznefet. So it was obviously different times. The problem is that Mandi Omer Aaron of Anav Bevatachat says, well, hold on a second. Let's take a look at Tetzaveh. What does it say in Tetzaveh? It says, Beferish v'chagarta otam avnet Aaron uvanav. Right, so if it's saying Aaron of Anav in that same words of v'chagarta otam, then apparently we've got a contradiction. Was it a chagira bevatachat with the avnet, or was it one after the other, which is the pashas of the way that the psukim are explained in Tzav, where it's clearly there was a one complete by a goro to avnet together with the mitznefes and so on with Aaron, and then he turns to the sons, and then he dresses the sons, and then he's got korotan. How do we explain then to Tzav? This is all part of our question of the interrelationship of the lashonis in Tzav with the lashonis in Tzav. Okay, so we've got a contradiction. So now let's see. Obviously, each one of the shitas, B'nai Rebbe Chiya or Rebbe Yochanan, has to explain the other pasuk, right? It's going to turn out that there's a very important machlokas, which is Nogei L'Doros, that comes out of how we resolve the contradiction of the pasuk. So, L'man Diomer Aaron of Anav Avatachat. If we take the pasuk that says V'chagarta Otam as the real problem, the real description. So then our problem is the fact that it separates them in Tzav. And it says, Vayachgor oto ba'avnet, and then separately it says, Vayachgor otam ba'avnet. So according to the Man Yomer, Aaron Uvana Bavatachat, what does he do with those psukim that clearly say it's not at the same time? Oh, my luck, he's telling you that's coming to say a very important halacha. And that is that even though it was Bevatachat, it wasn't the same Avnet. That's what's important to know. And that when it came to the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, which is made out of Kilayim, there it says Beferish, that it has to be made out of Sheish and out of Treles. It never says that by the Big Day Kuhuna, the normal Big Day Kuhuna of the Kohen Hedyon. It only says, only describes the Avnet in that way with the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, the Torah found it necessary to describe separately. There was one Avnet that he puts on Aaron. There was another Avnet that he put on Banav. But he did do the Avnetim at the same time, meaning without interrupting with other Begadim. Beautiful. And the other Shita says exactly the opposite. If the Pasuk that is definitive, is the pasuk that separates in Tzav between the Avnet on Aaron and the Avnet on the Bonav, how does he explain the pasuk in Tzav that says, V'chagarta otam Avnet? That's the whole point. It's to tell me, Ha'uko mashmalan the Avnet or Shel Kohen Gadol is exactly the same as the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot, even though it doesn't say that anywhere else. Here is the place where the Torah finally tells us that they were exactly the same, because I can put it together as if it's all one chagira. So then why? If that's the case, when it says over here separately, the Vayakoro to avnet, then Vayakoro tam avnet in Tzav, so why do I need to have it over here separately? Because it was separate. It was done separate. That's why. That's how I understand it. So the, putting it together was to tell me the din of how the avnet was made. Putting it separate was to tell me how it was actually done. I don't understand. How in the world did Moshe Rabbeinu actually dress five people at once? What does that mean? Bevat achat. I mean, how many hands does he have? Bevat achat mimashkach asla. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally bevat achat. It just means lo tzricha da'aktim. Obviously, he put on one, and then he put on the other, and then he put on the other, but it means he didn't put anything on in between. So that Aaron Uvanav all were dressed in order with the avnet. Hashenke, the other begadim, first he finished all the begadim and Aaron. Then he went on to the banav. Rabosai, that was wonderful. Okay, so we're getting a full grasp of the structure of the psukim, and the Gemara is making it clear. That's what I want you to focus on. Lemizbar Kroy, I want you to understand these psukim. You're saying they don't have any application halacha? Fine. They don't need an application halacha. Let's try to understand the interrelationship, Lemizbar Kroy. Wonderful, wonderful Gemara. Okay. So we've been joyously introduced that flung in headfirst into this amazing deep waters of the interrelationship of all of these inyanim at the beginning of the Mishkan. You can mamish start connecting to those moments. Unbelievable. And we're actually at the time of the year where we're mamish learning these parshas. So it's like perfect, perfect timing. It's really, what a grand year it's been with Pesachim and Shkolim and everything. Bizmanai. Wow. A gift, amazing gift.